This mini lecture is a review of fundamentals of communication. And we're going to review those fundamentals looking at communication from the standpoint of the individual. Now, it's not unusual to be introduced to ideas about communication using a model which involves two people. Two people in communication. We know that sometimes more than two people are involved in communication at any given time, and there are some models which account for that as well. But whether there are two people involved in communication or 22 million, they are engaged in communication only insofar as they are engaged in certain individual processes. And it's those individual processes that we're going to focus on here in the beginning. And so what I want to start with is talking about two fundamental processes that take place within the individual's brain that we can call communicative. Those processes are decoding and encoding. So we start with the idea of decoding. Decoding is a response to sensation. That is, there is a sensation which exists outside the body in the environment. We could call it, for example, noise or sound, something we feel, something we taste, a sensation which is picked up then by the body. For purposes of this example, I'll use the idea of sound or noise as a sensation that exists in the environment and then is picked up by the ear. And when it is, that sound or sensation is now called hearing. The hearing ear transmits that noise or sound to the brain, where the brain decodes it. Decoding, what is it? Well, we can talk about it in a couple of different ways, and all of these are really equally valid ways of thinking about what decoding is. One way is to say it's a process by which the brain makes sense of sensation. That, to use our previous example, there was a sensation of noise or sound in the environment. Our brain made sense of it by interpreting it. For example, if I use the noise or sound houseplant, you are probably making some sense of that noise as it enters your ear and is sent to your brain. Making sense of sensation. Having that sensation make sense. Or another way of saying the same thing is that we attribute meaning to it. Our brain takes something which in and of itself is meaningless, but it becomes meaningful to the extent that the brain attaches meaning to it. One other way of thinking about this is to use the idea of signs, which will be important to us later. The idea here being that the brain interprets something that exists in the environment as a sign which stands for something else. So whether we're talking about the process by which the brain uses something in the environment as a sign and sees it as standing for something else, whether we're talking about the brain attributing meaning to something, or we're talking about the brain making sense of sensation, we're talking about, nevertheless, the process of decoding. Decoding involves a lot of different processes, and those processes are not objective. That is, different people may perceive the same sensation differently. And so we have some classic examples, ways of illustrating this, for example, the optical illusions or particularly visual illusions, and especially the ones that are said to be visually ambiguous, in which one image can be interpreted in more than one way. One of the classic examples here, for example, is the picture, you know, is it an older woman or is it a young woman? Some people say neither, some people say both, some people say younger, some people say older. Who's right? Well, the point is that nobody is right, because objectively the image is all and none of those things. But subjectively it is what the brain decodes it to be. And so, obviously then, the process of decoding is subjective. We have other examples of this. For example, faces or vases. Which is it? Neither or both? Well, it depends. Either, neither, or both, depending on how it is decoded. A large number of studies, and powerful studies, confirming that decoding or perception is not just subjective, but in fact highly subjective and biased. And so we're used to saying that seeing is believing, but the truth is believing is seeing. Generally, we tend to perceive what we expect to perceive, and we tend not to perceive what we do not expect to perceive.